Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, December 4th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out our conversation with Jonas Jerebko, power forward with the Golden State Warriors and owner of the Detroit Renegades. Plus, we'll check in on the latest from around the world of esports. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with the newest member of the Checkpoint XP cast, Sarah Skopic, over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Fortnite has broken yet another incredible milestone. As of this month, they have officially surpassed 200 million registered players. That marks a 60% increase since June. For context, World of Warcraft Lifetime has had just over 100 million active accounts.
That is insane.
Stupid. You can't deny that Fortnite hasn't had an impact, period.
I don't know. New level of stupid.
I don't know. I think maybe you probably could. There's probably some double accounts in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, but
how many platforms is that across? I mean, how many platforms is Fortnite on in the first place?
It doesn't matter, man. Fortnite is now the fourth most populous country in the world.
The Fortnite nation.
I mean, can you really consider that when it's all digital? I mean, but
think about that. 200 million accounts versus 227 million people living in the United States. That's an insane number of people. And I still think I'm thinking like, I don't have a Fortnite account.
Yeah.
So there are still people like me out there who don't have one yet.
The NPD Group, an American market research group, has announced that third quarter spending on video games has increased by 24% over last year. It reached up to $9.1 billion, with hardware up by $737 million.
Ballin'.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hardware. So that's got to be Switch, right?
Yeah, it's got to be the Switch. It's got to be the Switch because Nintendo came out and recently talked about all their numbers and how well the Switch sold in the holiday season. So that's a big part of it. It's also a good sign the economy's doing better.
A lot of it's also going to be like gaming headsets and stuff like that.
That counts mice, towards that. Keyboard.
Yeah. I'm curious how this would compare to spending among, you know, other forms of entertainment, right?
Sure.
Because I think that's the big comparative benchmark there is, you know, how much was spent with video games versus other forms of entertainment.
Such as films or streaming.
Exactly. And I think that kind of starts to put into context or starts to put a framework around just how mainstream video games are in terms of our media consumption.
The Elder Scrolls Blades game, Bethesda's upcoming mobile title, has been reportedly delayed until early 2019. The game was originally slated to be released in fall of 2018, and no reason for the delay has been announced.
This is...
I'll tell you what the delay was, or what the reason was. The backlash to 76, if that game doesn't come out and isn't perfect, people are going to be all about them again.
I mean, that's entirely possible, but I think it's more along the lines of, you know, once the software got out there and onto a range of different hardware, that some very noticeable Bethesda bugs started to happen.
Well, so and I'm that's, fine with I think them that's, delaying it that's, for quality purposes anyway.
Exactly. But here's the thing is that I applied for that beta process the
so
day it was announced,
so
and still
I.
No beta. Come on, Bethesda. What are you doing?
What are we, not good enough to be in the Blades beta?
Come on.
With Resident Evil 2's remake scheduled to be released next month, they are eyeing a crossover with PUBG Mobile. Developer PUBG Corp has hinted at Resident Evil-themed skins for the game and has everyone wondering if we'll be seeing zombies on Erangel anytime soon.
I mean, what more? Like, it feels like every time a new Battle Royale game comes out, here comes PUBG and steals a little bit from it, right? Like, there are zombies on the map every once in a while in blackout mode.
Yeah.
That's what those little, like, blue markers are
right,
for.
Right, right.
And
So what if they start adding those into PUBG? Like, aren't they just kind of now chasing? They've gone from being the leaders of like the battle royale genre to now chasing trends, like putting in the Joker and Harley Quinn skins.
That was a terrible, awful idea.
And I think this is right up there with it. No, it is. It's just as bad. And unless they come out and say that we're gonna do a PUBG, you know, zombies mode essentially, right, then I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the last year or so, like, PUBG has really kind of shifted onto, it's on the back foot, right? Like, everything that Fortnite does, they're trying to react to it instead
except
of just being proactive.
Its esports.
Except for its esports team, which it it's actually handling fairly well.
Fallout 76 developer Bethesda handed down a permanent ban to a group of abusive players. The players in question were hurling homophobic slurs and remarks at another player. They were initially handed down a 3-day ban, but it was made permanent after the CS team investigated the situation.
Good on Bethesda, number one.
Totally. I mean, you know, I saw the interview that this group of people did with Kotaku afterwards.
Oh, God.
Or maybe it was just Kotaku that had cited the interview. But they were pretty unrepentant, and they were like, well, it's just a joke. That stuff is not a joke. Like, for some people, that's some very, very real stuff. And even if you're trying to make a joke, like, there's a line. And if Bethesda thinks that it's over the line, they are free and clear to terminate your account at will, they did.
I believe the term they used was harmless ignorance or something like that.
Come on.
It's absolutely...
First of all, there's no such thing. Second of all, like, you're just making excuses for your crappy behavior. Stop it.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, Nintendo relaxed their monetization policies for YouTube in preparation for the launch of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. They have shuttered their content creation policy, and now anyone adhering to the YouTube creation policy will be in compliance.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a little bit later on here on Checkpoint. But yeah, this, I think, marks an interesting note in the turning point in the relationship between Nintendo and its and the people covering it. So yeah, I definitely think that this is a step in the right direction.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. A while back, we did a story on video game addiction being recognized by the World Health Organization. Now we've got parents putting their kids in rehab. Guys, what is going on here?
So actually, Sarah, while we still have you here, you have a master's in social work. You deal with kids and parents all the time. What is happening?
Well, I think what you're seeing here is kind. Whenever there's any kind of new thing that the kids are into, so it's TV, new kind of video game, there's always a kind of concern over whether there's too much of it or whether the kids are engaging too much of it and not doing things like schoolwork and such like that. And when it comes to addiction of behaviors, which is what video game addiction is seen as, it can get really complicated because plenty of kids play video games and are not affected. But my main concern with what's happening here is you have groups that are capitalizing on the fact that parents are scared. Rehab facilities are not all nonprofit or government run, so you have for-profit companies that create these rehab centers, and that's my main concern because it's capitalizing on parents' fears to put their kids in these centers with who know what happens.
I definitely want to echo that concern because that's something that I saw a lot when I was going to school, where there was behavior that the parents didn't like but wasn't necessarily unhealthy or damaging behavior.
Wasn't necessarily destructive.
Exactly. And it got turned into something that was destructive, and these kids who were otherwise healthy kids and good people that I knew got shipped off to places in Utah. They were, you know, like wilderness survival camp, and basically thrown into the empty wilderness to survive. And you know, like, there's all kinds of programs that do try to capitalize on that kind of stuff. And I think with the esports scene being an outlet for, you know, highly skilled individuals at video games, I think that presents enough of a possible path forward in your future to look at something like maybe excessive video game playing and saying, okay, how can we put these skills to good use moving forward?
Well, and that's cool, but I think the context for when we were coming up and people were talking about game addiction or TV addiction has changed. The nature of media itself has changed, and the games are a lot more all-encompassing.
That very well may be.
You can go from Fortnite on your PS4 to Fortnite on your phone to Fortnite on your PC and literally be in the game for the vast majority of your day.
No, I totally get that, but hold on, let me finish. But Fortnite, we've seen stuff like Fortnite before. Mm. We've seen trends like Fortnite before that come into a school and are now suddenly huge distractions, whether it be Pokemon cards, Magic the Gathering cards, Pogs. I mean, any number of these things have been banned from schools and have been labeled as addictive behavior in the past, and that's been problematic. And I don't know that this is as well justified as even those were.
But it's not necessarily about a justification. I'm saying let's make sure that we acknowledge that context no longer exists. Pogs is nothing like Fortnite. Not even Pokemon cards or anything like Fortnite, because if you take the cards, you no longer have the vessel for which to get your addiction, to act upon your addiction or your addictive behaviors.
Did we not go through this with MMOs, though?
Not like this. I mean, accessibility is the big thing. I mean, you had people who would put aside, you know, better parts of their life to be able to dedicate to MMOs. But what Norris is talking about is not being able to unplug. And I mean, yes, maybe that is a little bit more justified, but I don't know how many cases are going to be applied there. And to echo Sarah's point, I think there are going to be many more therapists that jump on this as an opportunity because of fear. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that this is a real problem, or are therapists just capitalizing on a trend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll sit down with Jonas Jerebko to find out about the latest with the Detroit Renegades. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Overwatch has made a deal with an apparel provider. We'll tell you all about it.
Stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Jonas Jerebko, power forward of the Golden State Warriors and owner of the Detroit Renegades. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Esports gaming update with Sarah Skopic.
Sports apparel provider Fanatics has inked a multi-year deal with Overwatch League to provide jerseys, hats, and other apparel for the 2019 season and beyond. Fanatics is the apparel provider for the NFL, NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. This deal represents their first endeavor into esports.
Wow.
Get your wallets ready.
Dunk, bro.
Get it ready.
That's huge.
Prepare for your $95 hats and $185 jerseys, bro.
Yeah, but like, I know
they're going to be legit.
I know they're expensive.
They're going to be real good quality.
The quality, you can't deny the quality of those products, man. Like, I understand the price tag is exorbitant,
so
but
Robbie,
at the same time,
you
could wear it for years.
Now you got throwbacks. I just bought one for myself and one for my girlfriend. Now I have an excuse to buy us more.
I was about to say, I was about to buy one, and now I feel like I just can't. I'm out of luck. I gotta get one from Fanatics now.
Yeah, I think yours instantly becomes more valuable because it's a collector's item.
That's limited run, bro.
Yeah, don't be like, you know, being like, I can throw this out for my new one.
It's a limited run and worn by a Checkpoint host. Like that is show worn material, dude.
Added value right there.
Vancouver has become the latest Overwatch expansion team to unveil their branding. They will be known as the Vancouver Titans. Team roster includes former members of the Runaways. Norris, Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Woo!
To the runaway part,
yes. To the roster, I'm lit. I can't wait. To the branding.
It's just another one that doesn't jive, man.
It just doesn't hit.
Titans, all right, call them the Titans, that's fine. That's cool. But like a Yeti that's all like green and stuff, there's no cohesion.
Those colors are obnoxious.
I was actually, because when I had the colors were leaked, and when I saw what they were, I'm like, oh, they're trying to get in on that Houston look. But they picked like a really like sort of ugly, toxic green.
Yeah. Dude, the whole branding is hideous. I saw the article I was reading about it. It's like oh, and there's a V in the Yeti's nose to go with the Vancouver.
Come on,
because it's like they're lying. It's just his nose. It isn't a V shape, but that was just them drawing his nose. It's a coincidence. There's no way that's what they were intending.
Dude, I'm sorry. I am not a big fan of this at all. Yep. I think that their colors look like, I don't know, like they're sponsored by Microsoft. Like it's
it's bad.
All of that green in there, it's just I'm not a fan. Listen, I still think that the best branding has to go to the Toronto Defiant. Yeah. Like, and they really killed it with theirs.
Yeah, and on the heels of this too, the DC Justice, which was leaked a while ago and we knew, was also confirmed.
Yeah, but what about like Runaways being on the team? That is actually very exciting.
Huge. Very, very exciting.
Keep your eyes on them.
Seriously.
On the European side of the Winter Royal Tournament in Fortnite, French player Clément Dinglot, also known as Skeet, finished in first place. He beat English player Tuxi717 by only 1 point. For his victory, he won $75,000.
Somebody else who can speak French!
Joe, try and say that name for us, and you'll see
say
why
it.
We got a new news person. Go
say
for it.
It. Go for it. Say it.
Do it.
Clément Dinglot.
Oh. Clément.
Sarah, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
In my defense, her family is French.
I don't care. We're not French. We just do a lot of French.
You just pretend you're French.
We do. That's exactly what we do.
So Canadian.
No, my father would be offended if you said we were French Canadian.
Sorry, Canada. Had to do it. Teed me up. I had to take it.
On a not so bright note for Fortnite, their esports scene continues to face struggles. People asked for a truly open tournament, which meant online accessibility, and they got what they asked for in the Winter Royale. However, cheating has marred the event, with favorites like Tfue being able to show they were taken out by aimbots.
I don't have a whole lot of sympathy here. A, because Fortnite's esports scene keeps changing. It seems like they're trying out a variety of things to settle on something that eventually will work long term. I don't know that for a fact. That just seems to be, you know, just observing what they're doing with their league changes from season to season. I understand why this is frustrating as well. You know, when the community asks for something and then gets it and it's not what they wanted, I think that, you know, that's on the company to do a cost benefit analysis to figure out, like, is this worth trying to figure out how to make this work, or is it worth going back to our old closed system so that we can ensure that cheating doesn't happen? Because this is a big deal.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I understand how the players are feeling, because a lot of this stuff should have been shopped before they even tried to do this.
No, you're totally, I think you're absolutely 100% right with that. They should have ironed out a lot of these wrinkles. But like at the same time though, this is a game that when you load up their splash screen still says early friggin' access. It's like, you know, how responsible can you hold them for that?
The Southeast Asian Games are going to be held in the Philippines in 2019. The chairman of the planning committee has now confirmed that esports will indeed be a medal sport in the games this year. While the specific titles haven't been announced yet, we know there will be 6 in play, 2 each for mobile, PC, and console platforms.
Well, this is, I think, a fairly big deal, although I still think with
Southeast Asian Games, that sounds about right for esports.
Yeah, I still think that there's a big block in the road when it comes to convincing the IOC that this is worth investing in. But, you know, more esports competition is always a good thing, so I'll be interested to see that.
DreamHack has struck a partnership with Psyonix for 2019 that'll see Rocket League come to 4 major DreamHack events. The first 2 events have been announced as DreamHack Leipzig and DreamHack Dallas. Both will be $100,000 events.
This is exciting. More live Rocket League.
Always
yes,
good.
Please.
Always.
Yes,
good.
Please. I am always down for that.
We have now gotten the full list of teams competing in the new LEC region for League of Legends. Competitors include Splice, SK Gaming, Misfits, Vitality, Origin, Shulka04, Excel Esports, Fnatic, G2 Esports, and Rogue.
Now,
a lot of big names there.
Right, yeah, those are the big names. A lot of names that I recognize in there. Joe, you're a bit more of an expert in this area. Was there anyone who got snubbed?
I don't think anyone really got snubbed.
No.
I mean, a lot of the...
this seems like a major deserving
that,
list.
Yeah, the major teams that you want in the European region are there, and the ones that are new to the region, they make sense.
Fair enough.
Controversy is brewing over the Dota 2 Chongqing Major. TNC Predator player by the name of Cuckoo has been banned from the event following a racially charged comment. The player was fined and penalized by his team, but the Chinese government has decided that is not enough, resulting in the decision to ban him from the event. Now casters are discussing boycotting the event if Cuckoo is not allowed to play.
Wow.
Okay, this is a really weird situation. This is absurd.
It's a strange situation. He typed in something that was a racially charged comment. His team fined him half of his winnings from the Kuala Lumpur Major and put him towards a anti-racism charity. The Chinese government said not enough and will not basically allow him to compete. And now the casters are saying we're not going to show up.
Why are the casters getting involved?
That's
number one. This is an issue between the player and the organization,
yeah,
period.
Yeah, casters don't need to be involved.
Yeah, that's silly.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. This past weekend played host to some unbelievable Tekken action. Norris, what was going on, man?
All right, so the finals for the Tekken World Tour wrapped up. This was their first year for the event, and this probably was the best Tekken I had ever seen played ever. The tournament, first of all, is the familiar setup and everything, but the number one story here was the fact that the player who eventually won, Rangachu, did it with Panda.
A trash tier character.
I mean, this is Dan in Street Fighter.
Does that make him a trash panda?
Oh no!
Oh my god!
Sorry.
That makes me happy.
Oh my god!
But the entire tournament, and Robbie, you watched a lot of it too. The entire tournament was devastatingly entertaining, simply because it was like, Robbie, you described it as Happy Gilmore for fighting games.
Kind of. Because in the finals, who Rangachu was going up against looked
Q-dons,
like...
Yeah.
Yeah, looked like the Shooter McGavin of, like, Tekken. But watching Rangachu use Panda, you would never have guessed he was a low-tier character. It was mesmerizing to watch.
I'm sorry to ask if this makes me sound dumb. Is Panda actually just a panda
bear? Yes, a panda.
It's just okay. A panda.
If I'm not mistaken, it used to be the same moveset as the bear.
As Kuma,
it was just a reskin, but they basically turned it into an OC.
I mean, it's not joke character level, but it is very, very low tier. And the fact that Rangachu was able to play not just bracket reset, but to go through that tournament after switching back to Panda in dominating fashion in some of those matches was absolutely awesome to watch. And this was, if you're not a fan of the FGC, this would have been a great tournament for you to get into.
I mean, anytime anyone plays off meta, it's always something really interesting and exciting because you can start feeling that energy in the crowd and in the casters as well. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch this unbelievable Tekken tournament? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. We didn't even have time to get into that casting moment, which was absolutely hysterical. We'll tweet it out from our Twitter account over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Jonas Jerebko, owner of the Detroit Renegades. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. Checkpointradio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you visit our website at checkpointxp.com. We've redone our on-demand archive to be a podcast. Yes, Checkpoint XP Daily is now available as a podcast. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on our nationally syndicated radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe to Checkpoint XP Daily today at our website, checkpointxp.com. Earlier this week, Joe got to sit down with Jonas Jerebko, power forward with the Golden State Warriors and owner of the Detroit Renegades. So let's check out Joe's conversation with Jonas at the studios of WRIF in Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, this is Joe Sloan. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP. I'm joined now by Jonas Jerebko, power forward for the Golden State Warriors and, perhaps more importantly, owner of the Detroit Renegades. Jonas, thanks for joining us on Checkpoint.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jonas, you've got looking at Halo, first of all, you just had HCS London, third place finish. Your team is starting to really come together and gel. Can you speak to that team for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome to see, beating Splice and just having a great tournament overall. It's great for the future of the team. We were very excited watching, and, obviously the team has been doing great, and they just keep doing better.
The Halo competitive scene has kind of been one that's been a little bit rocky over the last year, trying to figure out which game is going to be kind of, the game to represent, whether it's going to be Halo 5 Guardians, whether it's going to be Halo 3. Are we going to see a new Halo in the future? What's the mindset of the team right now moving forward?
Just keep playing together. Keep staying together, and then we'll see what the future holds. We'll see what game it's going to be, and then go from there. But we've been very happy with that team. They've been doing awesome. Great guys, and like I said, it's fun to watch too.
I got to talk about Fortnite for a second, because if I don't, the fan base will be angry. 200 million registered players, the esports scene there trying to get off the ground. You guys just recently started a new Fortnite team. Talk a little bit about the new Fortnite squad.
We've been scouting the guys for a while, and we were very happy they signed with us. Four guys out of Australia, they've been killing it out there. We got the twins, we got Hershikul, and we got Mr. Fresh Asian. So yeah, we're very happy with that. They're obviously going to come here on December 9th, show the kids out here in Detroit, Michigan, and, hopefully their parents will come out and just show some tricks and, what it takes to be a professional player, have a little Q&A, and just for these guys to travel the world a little bit and share their profession.
Yeah, speaking of, the younger kids getting a chance to see it, especially with something like Fortnite, more and more youths are getting involved with esports. We're now seeing esports begin to move into the high school area. Some states already have varsity high school esports. How important is it that younger people can interact with esports and get that kind of team dynamic early on?
It's very important. I mean, it's like I've said before, it's just like any other sport. It's team camaraderie and all that kind of stuff. So it should be in high schools. It should be in college. It should be in pro. You should have all those levels. So I'm not surprised, and I think you're just going to see more and more of it.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We've got Jonas Jerebko, power forward for the Golden State Warriors and owner of the Detroit Renegades, with us right now. Talking a little bit about Counter-Strike Global Offensive, another team that is starting to really make some noise. You guys just had a third place finish. You're getting ready to move on to a Denmark tournament. Talk about the Counter-Strike squad.
So close. We wanted that win in Bangkok, but they've been doing really well. We just made two changes to the team. Had to go to Australia and do the major qualifier. We qualified for that. And then, obviously, they've been doing great in the ESL Pro League. So we got, like you said, in Odense, the playoffs coming up. So we're excited about that team. We really believe in them. We had a few of those guys signed for almost 3 years now. And, we really believe in them. And we think that it's going to be a breakthrough year coming out here soon. And we're excited.
Jonas, you used to play here in Detroit. You know what the winners can be like here. Is the Midwest not the perfect spot for esports to really take off? And is that one of the things that led you into doing the Detroit Renegades?
Growing up in Sweden, it's kind of the same weather. We got a lot of good gamers, a lot of gamers in Sweden. And I grew up in a gaming era, so I've gamed my whole life. And maybe that's because of the weather a little bit. I think this Midwest is should be the mecca of esports.
In the NHL, we're starting to see a lot of issues with teams not knowing how to handle a lot of their young players being gamers and maybe being more interested in going out and staying in and playing video games rather than going out for a team dinner. What is that like in the NBA?
Not really. We have scheduled dinners, and you got to get out there and talk to your teammates. You're out there on the field with them. You're practicing every day. You got to get out and just enjoy life. And when you spend so much time with your teammates, it's also good to get out of your normal habitat or whatever you say in the gaming, or if it's basketball or whatever it might be. So, yeah, no, it's very important. We try to, you know, encourage the guys to go out and have dinners together and breakfasts and all that kind of stuff. It's important.
So you have a gaming house here in Detroit. It is the, you know, the basically headquarters for the Renegades, the teams that are all playing there. What is it like to be able to provide a space like that for players to come together, get better at what they do, and grow as a team?
Oh, it's cool. I mean, it would have been a dream come true for me 10 years ago when I was really, you know, into playing and wanted to be the best. I mean, if I could have that house, I would have been ecstatic. But no, it's cool. It's, you know, it's a perfect house for them. It's got everything that they need. That's one thing that we're really trying to do in the Renegades is be professional and really support our teams with the best gear and everything. So, yeah.
Jonas Jerebko has been our guest here today on Checkpoint. Jonas, thanks for your time, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Jonas for his time. And he brought up some really interesting points there about, you know, the way that the NBA approaches, you know, things like video games being in their private lives versus, you know, how we spoke to Isabel Kershutian about the way that the NHL approaches it. I think that that is a hugely important cultural difference between those two organizations.
Yeah, I mean, the study mentioned that, you know, things like team dinners, those are all scheduled. You know, that is something that you know, follow the schedule, and then in your spare time, you go do your thing.
And I love how he spoke to how important things like team dinners were to, you know, the Renegades and building camaraderie among your esports teams. That's a big team building exercise and aspect. And so, you know, I do have some sympathy for the NHL, but again, you know, no talk of bannings. There's a lot of, you know, interplay with the esports scene and the NBA as an organization. So I think that that's a really healthy way in approaching it.
Well, and it's part of what I like about what Gen G Esports is doing with their world class facility.
Yes.
It sort of allows the esports players, it allows those athletes to have sort of that private life for them to do what they want and view that building as the office.
That's right. Well, make sure you join us Sunday for the Renegades live in Beacon Park. Myself and Joe will be on the scene checking out all the action and getting exclusive interviews with Renegades players. Catch the event live at our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. But that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show for esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. I want to thank Sarah Skopik over at the news desk, who did an excellent job for her first time today. Well done, Sarah. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and no longer at the Checkpoint news desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.